This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Wednesday, August 5th, 2015. I'm Caleb Brown. Recent corruption scandals within high levels of Brazil's government and at Brazil's state-owned oil company have left voters willing to consider a wider range of political alternatives. Fabio Osterman and Kim Kataguri are leaders of the Free Brazil movement. We spoke about what might be next for Brazilian politics and policy during Cato University, held last week.
We're currently undergoing the worst political and economic crisis in Brazil in the last 20 years. And this has, of course, started not in the last months, but a while ago. President Dilma Rousseff has been leading a government, and specifically a government that promotes an economic view that's 100% mistaken. She has increased public spending, and she has increased restrictions on private companies, and she has not lived up to her predecessor's legacy because she decided to take a more militant stance on economic views.
Yeah, and also she got elected last year. She almost lost actually, and she promised like that the prices wouldn't go up and that her government would be democratic, that her party was honest, that she was honest, but her party got caught in a huge corruption scandal and the prices skyrocketed and the economy got out of control. So people got really angry about it because she delivered just the opposite of what she sold in the campaign.
Now, and the memories of many people, older people in Brazil, they remember a hyperinflation from the 80s and 90s. And as you guys are alluding to, the inflation is coming back.
Yes, we're currently getting close to a level of inflation that's about 9 to 10%, something that hasn't happened in the last 20 years. So people don't actually remember what happened during the 80s. Kim wasn't even born at the time, and I was a little child. But we kind of know what happened at the time because companies just didn't have the means to plan themselves due to hyperinflation, and there was a very low level of trust in the economic future of the country. But fortunately, in 1994, we had a new economic plan that brought Brazil to a new phase of economic stability. Ironically, this moment in Brazilian politics was a direct consequence of an impeached president, Fernando Collor de Mello, in 1992. And this is what we're trying to bring about again, because we currently have a president Dilma Rousseff, who has been able to bring to Brazil a rare mix of corruption and managerial incompetence. Her government has got together the worst types in Brazilian politics, and also a high level of corruption surrounding all public-owned companies and her huge government that currently counts with 39 departments.
Now, tell me about these publicly owned companies. It seems to be a relatively large share of the Brazilian economy, something that Americans might not be that familiar with.
Well, Brazilian government has control of about 700 companies across the country. And this ranges from, for instance, an oil company like Petrobras, and also some funny examples like a company that produces condom in the Amazon region that was created in the 2000s to give a local destiny for the latex production in the Amazon.
And what is the government's role in the banking industry?
Government controls the largest bank of Brazil, and it also has a development bank that's supposedly used to finance infrastructure projects, but in the last 10 years, it has been used for every type of reason, yeah, including infrastructure projects abroad.
Yeah, and also huge corruption scandals. And, the government basically used the period of economic boom we had to increase its own size. So what we see now as a result is that the president's approval is 7%, and I mean, inflation is higher than it.
Inflation is higher than the president's approval rating?
Yeah.
That is true. And also, in Brazil, we have seen grow a very dangerous type of crony capitalism that was widely financed by this development bank called BNDES, which currently finances a wide array of companies. This is always put a big portion of Brazilian most prominent businessmen in the hands of the government.
Yeah, and the owners of the biggest private companies in Brazil, well, many of them are in prison now, and a lot of directors from state-owned companies also.
So this development bank is able to call the shots for a lot of companies in Brazil because the government is the one making determinations about who gets what financing for certain projects.
Exactly. If a company's owner or director goes out publicly against the government, he knows that he might be losing this source of financing. And it's a subsidized money that companies, especially nowadays during this economic crisis in Brazil, that they just cannot afford to lose. We currently are having in Brazil, the best estimates for Brazil this year say that we'll be having a negative growth, if that is if that expression is even possible.
The economy is going to shrink
like 1% this year.
So a hyperinflation in the 80s, economic instability followed by a president who was impeached, a long period of economic stability, at which time the government used it to expand. And now we see a situation that may be similar. So what are you young people in Brazil doing to make sure that the mistake of not imposing a bunch of structural reforms after ousting the president in the 90s, how are you tackling this differently?
The main difference from the 80s to the situation we're living now is the fact that we have more information available. Besides the fact that, of course, we have had this experience in the past, so we can learn with it. We currently are building a wide basis of supporters of libertarian ideas, and we're now rising as a movement that's been able to promote libertarian ideas to the masses. And we have been taking advantage of this movement where Brazilian society is unhappy with the path that this government has taken. And with this, we're gaining a lot of terrain with this.
Yeah, it's very clear that the Workers' Party failed the country and people want new ideas. And we are there to offer them. I mean, during many years, there were only leftist social movements, mostly financed by political parties, and now we are the biggest Brazilian social movement, and we are libertarian. So things are changing.
So you're quoted, Kim, in The Guardian saying, "We defend free markets, lower taxes, and the privatization of all public companies." Can you elaborate on that just a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, all the corruption scandals we're seeing now in Brazil couldn't have happened if all the state oil company, for an example, was a private company. I mean, obviously, state-owned companies are used by politicians to attend to their own interests because they have huge influence in them. And they have been using our money and this company's money to buy the Congress. And this makes a lot easier for them not to respect the rule of law, and also to control the media, because the Brazilian media is mostly dependent on government's money. Well, they use it to say that we, for an example, are financed by the CIA or the Koch brothers. So it's kind of, I mean, the only solution is to give more power to the individuals and less power to the government. I mean, that's how I see it.
How are you portrayed in media in Brazil?
Well, they try to relate us with the military dictatorship that happened in Brazil for
20 years,
yeah, because our president and the Workers' Party used to be a leftist social movement that fought against the military dictatorship, and they try to label all those who are against them as people who wants to bring fascism, to bring a new dictatorship, but the population just can't believe it anymore because, I mean, we're so young. I mean, we didn't even leave this period of dictatorship, and I can't really imagine us defending political arrests or torture. So they really try to take out the credibility of the movement. But fact is that our popularity, our credibility is like in 93%, and the government's popularity is 7%. So it isn't working.
So what would be the impact if you are successful and, for example, maybe just Petrobras, the company? What if that were the only thing that were privatized? How big of an impact would that
we
have?
We think that the impeachment of Dilma Rousseff is only the beginning for a new period of reforms in Brazil. We currently don't see any way that Brazilian government could have the means to efficiently manage a company the size of Petrobras. In Brazil, it's usually said that the oil is ours. This was actually a motto created during the campaign that managed to create Petrobras in the 1950s. But the fact is, the oil has never been ours. Gasoline in Brazil is much more expensive than here in the U.S. and in pretty much anywhere else in the world. And Petrobras is a very, very, very inefficient company. And it deals with lots of areas in Brazilian politics that it shouldn't be being used to that.
Yeah, government tries to sell that state-owned companies are from the population, but actually it's from the government. And I mean, only the politicians make use of it for themselves. I mean, the population can't have free gasoline. I mean, the oil isn't ours. It's government's.
Is it your view that the leftists in Brazil try to make the government and the people seem like it's the same thing?
Yeah. All the time. All the time. And those who are against the government are against the people in their point of view. So they try to all the time paint us as huge conspirationists, people who are trying to bring foreign money, as if it was a bad thing. I mean, to bring foreign money or being funded by foreign money, something that we're not.
But we would have absolutely no problem.
We wouldn't have any problem. The problem we see is about being funded by government money, money that was stolen from people. This is a big problem for us. We would never accept government money.
Tell us about the protests that you have organized over the past few months. I saw one that was activists preparing to walk 600 miles on behalf of free markets.
So it all started in November of last year when we had our first protest against President Dilma Rousseff. By the time we were not yet asking for impeachment, we were demanding freedom of speech. We were demanding fair investigations on the corruption scandals. But with time and with the advancement of the investigation surrounding Petrobras corruption scandal, we decided to call for a big demonstration all across the country on March 15th, in which we were able to get together more than 3 million people across the country. So it was the largest public demonstration, not organized by political parties, as it was always the case in Brazil, in all Brazilian history. We had a second round of protests in April the 12th. And then after that, we decided to take things to a new level.
Yeah. Since our first protest in November 1st to April, the president's popularity went from 40% to 7%. But when we called for the protests in March, I mean, we brought more than 2 million people to the streets. And in April, we brought like 1 million. And then the government was saying that our movement was getting weaker, that the government was regaining its strength. But fact is, people only started losing their hopes because our main opposition party wasn't doing its job. In fact, they were fighting against us. They were saying that we couldn't impeach the government. They were saying that we should respect the president. I mean, that's our main opposition party saying that. That's why people got a little bit disappointed. So we decided to do something to inspire these people, to say that, yeah, we can do it, that the government can fall if we keep fighting. So we decided to walk from São Paulo to the capital, Brasilia. And it's like a 600 miles walk. It lasted 33 days. And we passed by many cities teaching people why it's important to defend liberty and why impeaching our president is an important first step. People got really touched by it. And it even, as our support was so big, many opposition leaders had to support impeachment. And there, when we arrived at the Capitol, we filed our request for impeachment at the House of Representatives. And recently, the Speaker of the House had some fights with the president, and he got a little bit angry after he got prosecuted. And then that's why we expect it to be voted on the next weeks. But we couldn't stay still. I mean, we had to do something while everything was happening. So we decided to, we did a project called the Impeachment Scoreboard, in which we sent every week teams to the Capitol to take videos of politicians asking them if they will vote for or against impeachment. And we got a very good result. I mean, we figured that politicians are afraid of us because they know when we record a video of them saying no, millions of people will see it. And they also know that we are organized, and I mean, the whole country, and the people are more willing to go to the streets against them. So we are very optimistic, and we believe that the president will be impeached by the end of the year.
How important has technology been to being able to make the movement that you have now possible?
It has been crucial. I mean, most of our connections to our bases across the country, we currently have 173 cells all across the country, or all across the 27 states and 5 regions of the country. We reach them primarily by through Facebook, through email, through WhatsApp. So without technology, an organization like ours
it
would be absolutely impossible for us, especially because our budget is not very high, so we wouldn't have the means to reach them and to organize ourselves.
Fabio Osterman and Kim Kataguri are leaders of the Free Brazil movement. We spoke last week during Cato University. Learn more about Cato University at our website, cato.org.